said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, together with all who were in his house. And he took them at that very hour of the night, and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It's an amazing story, isn't it? Our gospel reading comes from John, the 17th chapter. This is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's what he prays just as he's about to go to the cross. He prays for his disciples. He prays for us. And this is the section of the prayer where he prays for the future church, those that will believe in him through the witness of his disciples. Start at verse 20. "I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you sent me, and you loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you did send me. And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith you have loved me will be in them, and I in them." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Surprise, Dave Chong. Would you just move to the right to the railing there? Up, stand. You, Dave Chong, that's you. Would you pray for this preaching time right now? Amen. Always be ready. Especially you deacons. It's Mother's Day. And most mothers are nurturers. I'd already mentioned that. They teach us almost naturally. It just flows from them. They know what's good for us, and they know what's not good for us. So when your mother tells you not to eat candy before meals, is she holding out on you? Or does she know something that you don't know? After all, candy gives instant gratification. Ever hear of a sugar buzz? Ever have a sugar buzz? Ever seen a kid on a sugar buzz? Woo! Like greased lightning. And it also masks the fact that our bodies need proteins and vitamins from beans and sometimes meat and vegetables and whole grains. You know, the stuff that they try to push on us from the health store, health food stores. Now, how does mom know that the candy is not good for me if I'm going to have a healthy meal? Well, she doesn't have to know all that stuff. She's a mom. Candy makes us happy. But nutritious food brings us joy. Ha! Candy makes us happy. But nutritious food brings us joy. Paul and Silas were in jail. There was a slave girl there in Philippi. And she was being used by her masters to pass out, in effect, candy. She was a fortune teller. She had a spirit of divination, a counterfeit god that inhabited her. God knows how much false prophecy had passed between her lips into the lives of people. And they paid large sums of money to the men who had her in bondage. She was a slave girl. You might call these men pimps of a nature. And Paul, when he sees this, the scripture says he was greatly annoyed. That literally means he was in great pain. He saw this young girl with all kinds of potential. And he saw that she was in bondage and it caused him pain. Have you seen people, you just take one look and you think, ouch. Because you know that life is not easy for that person. That's why we do the work we do through Nightlight and supporting Annie and Jeff, that's right, Dieselberg. I just had one of those senior moments. Annie and Jeff, who are there in Thailand in the red light district working, they see these girls, you know, that have been sold into this, and there's a deep pain in them, and there should be a pain in us. And we see people that have been sold into these kinds of human trafficking environments. And so Paul, out of the depths of his pain and compassion, cries out, I command you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And what the scripture says to us is that's just what happened. This demon who held her in bondage came out of her. Well, that didn't sit well. After all, if you're making your money on this kind of a person and they're your possession, you think they're your possession, and the reason that they see such a lucrative person in you is now gone, whew, you've just awoken a wrathful giant. And that's what happens. They charge these guys, Paul and Silas, with throwing the whole city into confusion. The words there literally are, they were stirring up trouble. And they said, after all, we're Romans, and these guys are Jews. As if to say, their teachings are beneath us. What's the punishment? The magistrates get involved. Paul and Silas are thrown into the inner prison. The inner prison, you know, that's like kind of like solitary. There's the outer prison where, you know, that's light punishment. But when you're thrown into the inner prison, there's no light there. It's damp. The chains that bind you are rusty. Your feet are in stocks. And having your feet in stocks is a form of torture. It's uncomfortable. You can't move. And oftentimes the stocks put you in uncomfortable positions. So how are we doing here as we look at this picture? In this Philippian jail, there's no candy in this place. But there's joy. Joy. And I'm not talking about almond joy. There's joy in this place. Paul and Silas, the scriptures tell us, were praying and singing hymns of praise. In other words, they were pressing themselves into the Spirit so that the Spirit could take control of the situation. And that's what we need when we're faced with this kind of a problem. When we're in some form of bondage, we need to press into the Spirit so the Spirit can have more control of us. Can you hear their prayer? Maybe something like this. We are your servants, Lord. And we count it a privilege to be able to be in this place because of our care for you and for those that you love. Lord, fill us with your hope. Let your joy be evident in us. Dance over us, Lord. I wonder what hymns they might have sung. They would be strange perhaps to our ears, but maybe a hymn that we know that if they'd been in a more contemporary situation might be something like, I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it showed thy love to me. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me near, Lord. And everybody heard this joy that was emanating from this inner prison. Jesus taught these disciples very well. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's hard to read that. It's a better picture on a computer screen than it is on that screen. But in Hebrews 12, 2, we read these words. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, there in a dark prison cell, they fixed their eyes on light that was not evident to others who did not know that that light was there. The perfecter of our faith, and their faith was growing up there in that cell. Oftentimes, our faith doesn't grow when we're eating candy. Our faith grows when we have to eat Brussels sprouts. And for me, that's a task. Maybe for you, it's broccoli or spinach or some other thing. No, it's the harder things of life that grow us up. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He endured the cross. He despised the shame, meaning he took the shame lightly because of what was in front of him. The task that he was performing on a cross was not, you know, it wasn't a show. This was hard work, and by it, Jesus was redeeming you and me. And these two men, and by the way, all the others that were there in that prison. Suddenly, we read, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened. And note, everyone's chains were unfastened. Not just Paul and Silas's. Everyone's chains in the prison were unfastened. And not only were these prisoners freed, but here's another really amazing thing. You would think that as soon as the chains fell off and the doors were open, they'd be out of there. They didn't run. Now you can tell this is really a God thing, because we naturally would, you know, we'd hightail it quick for the door and get out of town. They stayed. Why? For the sake of the jailer. That's Jesus. That's the serving continues. And Paul and Silas had this kind of an effect. What, talk about a sphere of influence on prisoners, no less. Who knows why they were there? And they stayed. And as a result, when the jailer came, who was shaking in his boots, thinking, you know, I'm dead meat now, they said to him, don't be afraid, we're all still here. And it put him on his knees. So he asked this very pertinent question: what must I do to be saved? And the response was one that you and I know. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. That's what we've been doing in this place. That's why you heard us singing at midnight. That's why we were praying. We're trusting Him. And there's joy in us. You want that joy? He says, absolutely. That's not in the scripture, by the way. That's my addendum. But that, you know, why else would he ask for salvation? He saw it. And the promise was, it's not going to be just for you. Your whole household will be saved. This influence is going to keep growing. And of course, the whole household does get saved. At least, that's what we see on the surface, because all of them, they didn't wait. They're all baptized. And then what do? They have a party. There, I don't know what time it's getting to be at this point, because they've, you know, it was midnight or so when they were singing, and then there's the freedom, and then there's the salvation experience, then there's the baptism, and now they're having a meal, celebrating. Can you imagine the joy of God over what was happening in Philippi that evening and into the next morning? He will take delight and dance over you in joy when we respond in this way. Now, He loves us no matter what, but you want to give God joy? Learn how to sing His praises when you don't feel like doing it. It really changes us. Whether our outward circumstances get changed or not, and this obviously they did here, but even if they don't, it changes us. You can learn that even though you have cancer on your face, no less, right, Karen? Karen is a good witness to this, because she learned that this squamous cell cancer on her face was in a place where who knows what that's going to mean, you know, for your face. And she said to me, a deep joy, a contentment, a peace has come into me. You know, it's settling in that I belong to God, no matter what. Now, the good news in this is that she knew that she was in God's hands no matter what. And the added benefit of all of this was that the squamous cell cancer that was thought to be deeper is just shallow. And they're going to freeze it off this week and be done with it. Hallelujah. That is our God. Paul Anselm's here today. Ruth's not. But she's pretty happy too. She's got a wound, and it looked like they were going to have to put a skin graft over it. But at this point, because of other complications, they couldn't do that surgery. But the wound is healing. And we know why. Songs of joy in the night. Nighttime is one of the roughest times for us. When all the lights are out and it's very quiet, the demons come out, so to speak. Not always literally. But we know. We hear voices and the fears rise. But in the middle of the night, we can pray and we can sing. Now, you don't have to sing out loud because it might wake up the rest of the people in the house, but maybe they need to be. They're not going to be happy with you, by the way, probably, but that's okay. Whatever it takes for joy to hold us. I was bleeding. I was losing lots of blood. I was in ICU. I passed out twice. I was not happy. But each missionary that came to visit me, that's you, by the way. Many of you came as missionaries to come and encourage me. Each visit was a source of joy. And my nurses were wonderful. Each one a gift from God. And I rejoiced in each visitor, and I also had that same peace. Mothers-to-be. Think of Stephanie. Stephanie, who is about to give birth within the next month to a little guy. I wonder, as she's being wheeled into the birthing room, how happy she is. Those of you that have given birth to children, how happy are you with all of that pain? Not very happy, right? But do you have joy in the midst of the pain? That's why Jesus went to the cross. He had pain, but he had joy because he knew what was coming afterwards. We can be happy, but our happiness is fleeting. Joy is what buoys us. That's what holds us. Knowing that the outcome of all of this is the building of the kingdom. Because we are kingdom builders. That's our vision. That we might build the kingdom of God by extravagantly blessing people with the love of God. That's how we sow the seeds. And once the growth begins, then our task is that together to grow up in Christ so that we might follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. So even while we're in prison, we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. They're the words of Job, who lost so much. We have the joy of knowing that our hard work is an instrument in God's hand, and that brings us joy. We might feel like we're in prison sometimes, but we can still pray, and we can still sing. Whether you can carry a tune or not, by the way, you can still sing, and it brings the joy of Jesus home. Let's pray. Lord, you give us joy in very strange places, and we know that there are some that would look at us and shake their heads. We don't shake them from side to side, Lord. We shake them up and down and say, yes, Lord. We give you our pain. We give you our sorrow. We know that you will use it to strengthen us. And who knows whose lives will change because of what we've endured. What you endured has changed our lives. And we are eternally grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.